Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on history alone. I do not have to see you in person. Please call me at the number on my site if you would like to learn how I do consults or email me. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. Toll free, the number is 877-270-8714. In Canada, the number is 888-228-4494. Those numbers are also on the BBS Radio website. Every week I will answer the question, what ails America, with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And tonight's show is going to be entitled, What's Ailing America? Aspartame. And this timing is very apropos because, as it turns out, over the Labor Day weekend, it was actually a late Aspartame Awareness Weekend. And my special guest tonight, I'm thrilled to have on the show, is Dr. Betty Martini. She's the founder of the Worldwide Volunteer Force Mission Possible World Health International, which is committed to removing the deadly chemical aspartame from our food. This poison has brought more complaints to the American Food and Drug Administration than any other additive and is responsible for 75% of such complaints to that agency. From 10,000 consumer complaints, the FDA compiled a list of 92 symptoms, including death. They used to mail this list out, but now you can't get the list without a Congressman or Freedom of Information Act request. Dr. Martini has been awarded an honorary doctorate of humanities degree for the work she has done and continues to do in alerting the world to the dangers of aspartame and other unhealthy chemicals and additives. She spent 22 years working in the medical field, and while working with a hematologist, supplied the CDC with reports on leukemia, which the CDC said were more than all of the case histories submitted by the entire Emory University hospital system combined, an indication of the low level of physician-generated reports to the CDC. This reveals that only a small percentage of serious health threats are collected and statistically tabulated. And, of course, this goes for inoculations as well. In 1970, Dr. Martini established a model for the nation by creating Physicians on Call, a network of five emergency care clinics in Atlanta, Georgia, staffed with medical doctors 7 days, 24 hours a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Services were without cost to the indigent, and she had a deep interest in traumatology and worked to build a trauma center in her mother's name, Eve Geller, who lost her life to breast cancer, but this did not materialize. She also ran for mayor of Atlanta in 1973. When she developed breast cancer, she named the herbal formula that cured her for her mother. Now the FDA has started outlawing the helpful life-saving herbs. as they're trying to do with homeopathy and supplements and everything else through Codex. It is no wonder why she calls the FDA the fatal drugs allowed. Folks, we're approving deadly poisons and outlawing safe herbs needed for good health. She says when people send complaints to the FDA about aspartame shattering their life, instead of concern, the FDA badmouths the safe herb stevia, which can save the life of diabetics since it helps in the metabolism of sugar, and aspartame actually can precipitate diabetes, keeps blood sugar out of control, destroys the optic nerve, can cause diabetics to go into convulsions, and interacts with insulin. Larry Hagman said of stevia, "I am a diabetic and alive today due to stevia diet and exercise. I no longer have to use insulin. I would never use aspartame knowing how dangerous it is and having been declared a world epidemic." And so there's a lot more I could say about Dr. Martini, but we also have, as a special guest on our show tonight, a person by the name of Abby Cormack from New Zealand, and I'm extremely thrilled to have her on the show. So we have so much to cover. So if I could bring you on, Dr. Martini, thank you so much for agreeing to help enlighten our listeners about the dangers of aspartame.
Thank you, Dr. Crowley, for having me and for all the great work that you have done having to do with vaccines. I don't think that a lot of people know that aspartame interacts with vaccines.
Yes.
Just as it interacts with all drugs because of the damage to the mitochondria or the life of the cells. So it's very interesting that that you're doing this work on it. Now, I've just returned from New Zealand because Abby Cormack, and she's a one courageous young woman, got a great deal of publicity over there because she was chewing Wrigley's aspartame gum. And back in 2004, someone actually sued them because they knew that it works, aspartame that's buccal works like nitroglycerin under the tongue, goes through saliva straight to the brain, and they have some really terrible reactions. And we have Dr. Roberts' paper on it if someone would like it. But Abby went to the press, and she started making world news because she wanted to warn others. And so through the Safe Food Campaign there in New Zealand and Soil and Health, they brought me to New Zealand. In fact, Chris Wheeler with Soil and Health is Mission Possible New Zealand, and he said for years he's been writing these stories, and they're incredible. But when Abby got to the press, it got everywhere and started saving lives all over New Zealand. And I'm so glad that we can, I know she only has a few minutes, so we have her online and we can let her tell her story.
Okay, Abby, thank you so much for joining us all the way from New Zealand. It's quite amazing that you were able to get such press coverage in such a small country, but now you can share your information with the world, so please do tell us what happened to you.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show, Dr. Carly, and hi, Betty. I'll just start off quickly by telling you what I was consuming. I had three packets of Wrigley's Extra Chewing Gum, which is a heck of a lot of chewing gum, but I was not aware of the dangers of it. So I was chewing this chewing gum for about 3 years constantly, and as well as this, I had several Diet Cokes during the day as well. So I started off in about February of this year, and I started developing pretty bad depression, anxiety. I couldn't sleep. There's absolutely no reason for me to be feeling like this. I had a really, really good job, and I had a great family. I was living in a really healthy social environment. There was no family history of any psychiatric problems. So I sought help from a psychiatrist, and he suggested that I took antidepressants, but that probably wasn't something that I wanted to do at the time. I knew that I could work things through with some sort of cognitive therapy. I'm not very okay with the antidepressants, so I decided to work through it with this therapy. And I got worse and worse, and a month later I decided I need to go back to see the psychiatrist. And I rang my parents and informed them about how I was feeling, and I suggested they came up to the city that I was living in. I was living in Auckland, and they were living in Wellington. And I went back to the psychiatrist, and my symptoms developed, and I started becoming very paranoid. I had suicidal thoughts. My depression got worse. I wasn't able to hold down my job. And my psychiatrist thought that I had bipolar. And again, he said to me that he would like me to put me on antidepressants. And once again, I declined and said, no, I've got a supportive family and I want to work through it with them. I got so bad that I actually ended up having to return to my hometown. I moved back in with my family. And in about April, I started developing physical symptoms, and these were really bad muscle cramps in my legs and my arms. My psychological state was deteriorating, but this cramping was keeping me up all night. Once again, I couldn't go to work. I went to my first doctor, and he said to me that he thought I was training too much at the gym, because I'm really into my gym training. So he prescribed me with some anti-inflammatories and did a couple of blood tests, and this showed no abnormalities at all. But he thought perhaps I had an electrolyte imbalance or a deficiency of some description, like magnesium or sodium. This didn't show up anything. The same day as my first GP appointment, I went to an optometrist with complaints of blurred vision. I had headaches. And I had my eyes tested, and there was a sign that my eyesight was deteriorating, and I got prescribed with glasses. My crampings were constant. I started having them during the day. It was like a tingling kind of sensation, and this was keeping me up, like I say, all night. I started developing what I refer to as internal tremors, and I felt like my whole body was moving on the inside. It's kind of a strange thing to complain about, but the doctors thought I was a bit crazy. I made a call to the emergency department in May. This cramping got so severe that I was up the whole night. I was prescribed with Valium to help me sleep. I was having terrible heart palpitations. I thought I was having a heart attack. And the emergency department said that I must see a GP the following day, which I did. I went back and I said, listen, I'm really, really unwell. This cramping is just getting worse and worse and worse. What can it possibly be? You know, I've tried anti-inflammatories. I've had my blood tests done. Nothing's shown up. And again, I was told that I was training too hard at the gym. I was given more painkillers, which did nothing. I made a third appointment, and at this stage, my psychological state was pretty bad. I was starting to lose awareness of my surroundings. I was irritable. There was a suggestion that I had multiple sclerosis. I had strength tests done, reflex tests done. This all showed absolutely nothing. They thought I had lupus. This also showed up negative. I was again prescribed more painkillers, Valium, and advised to see a GP again. This went on and on and on. I ended up seeing four doctors, and on the 15th of May, I went up to the emergency department after my mother found me rolling around on the ground in absolute agony from this cramping. Again, I was told that I was overtraining at the gym. So at this stage, I was pretty desperate. I'd had all these medical appointments over the past two months. Nothing showed anything. You know, I had all my blood tests were fine. My psychiatrist was extremely concerned about me. I spent several hours on email trying to, you know, explain to him how I was feeling. He said to me he pretty much thought I had bipolar and wanted to prescribe me again with Prozac, which at this stage I accepted because I was so desperate for some help.
Abby, if I can interrupt you to ask you a question, because my blood pressure is rising here, and of course this is what always happens, but how on earth could this psychiatrist be telling you you're bipolar, and that's the reason you're having all of this pain? What does bipolar have to do with pain?
Well, to be honest, I didn't really explain to him all of my physical symptoms. The only thing that I told him were the tingling sensation in my arms, and he put that down to panic attacks, like hyperventilation.
Uh-huh.
So I sort of wasn't associating the psychological effects with the physical effects.
Okay.
And my final appointment with the emergency department, I was looking through my notes the other day, and all it said was panic attack. That was my whole diagnosis. So it just shows the amount of knowledge in New Zealand with something like aspartame. You know, they've just got absolutely no idea that something like an additive can be so, so serious.
But while you're going through all this, you're still chewing Wrigley's gum, correct?
Absolutely. Didn't even think twice about the fact that it could be something that I'm putting in my mouth.
Okay.
Anyway, the end of May, I was I was pretty bad. I was sort of going to work once a week, and the last straw came for me when I lost control of my bladder at work, and I was absolutely mortified. I had no idea what was going on. I thought I had a heart attack. I thought I was on my way to a heart attack, and the emergency department said, no, you're not having a heart attack. You don't have the symptoms of a heart attack. You know, they tested me for multiple sclerosis, but I was so sure that I had a neurological disorder of some description. So when I lost control of my bladder, I rang my doctor and I said, listen, you're going to have to do something because I've been tested for everything, nothing's shown up. And she said, okay, come and see me tonight. So when I lost control of my bladder, I came home from work and I said to my family, look, there's just something so wrong with me. I thought maybe I had a brain tumour. And it just crossed my mind, well, Mum actually said to me, how about you look into what's in that chewing gum? So I looked on the back of the packet, and the phenylalanine word, which I've heard a lot about, but don't really know the history of it or much about it. So I Googled it, and out came this aspartame word, and I've never even heard of aspartame. So this directed me to Betty's website, www.doorway.com, with 1-0, and all my symptoms matched up, every single one of them. And I was absolutely mortified because there's all these things on it about how it's so serious and it causes holes in the brain. And I thought, geez, you know, are these effects going to be reversible? So luckily I only had an hour to wait for me to have my doctor's appointment. So I walked into the doctor's room and I said, okay, so I've had all these tests. You've seen me three times. You've given me no. Going to do, and she said, okay, I'm going to refer you to a neurologist. And I said, no, you don't have to do that. I said, I know what's wrong with me, and I handed over my diagnosis. I printed off the stuff from Betty's website, and she read through it, and she was shocked, and she said, yep, you've hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what you've got. And I walked out of that doctor's room, and 48 hours, I woke up with no tinglings. My psychological state improved daily and is still improving daily. I have not had one single symptom of aspartame poisoning since I came off the chewing gum, and I'm fine. So, I mean, 3 or 4 months of being at an absolute agony, going to doctors, having millions and millions of painkillers, blood tests, highly unnecessary, and all it was the aspartame chewing gum. It's the only variable that I changed in my life, and all of my symptoms have ceased.
Well, that's very dramatic, and I just want to mention that there are also homeopathic remedies to specifically detox aspartame, and when I take histories from people, I cover all of these poisons. There's so many, and Betty and I will go into a lot of this after, because I understand that you have an interview to go on. You're an actress, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I've got an audition in about half an hour for a musical.
Okay, well, that's wonderful.
See, that's something else. I completely lost my confidence, and I couldn't even audition to, you know, I couldn't get up on stage or remember any lines or anything. You know, I completely, my psychological state was so severe, I couldn't socialize. You know, and that's not like me. I'm so social and so outgoing. I love being around people, and I just became so isolated, and my family thought that I was going insane. You know, there was no reason for me to be feeling like this.
Well, I really appreciate you telling your story. Betty, since you were working with Abby in New Zealand, I know you were there for a few weeks, if you could just interact with her a little bit in any way you would like, just to, you know, bring out other information in terms of what you two did with the media and how the mainstream media welcomed you, or perhaps not.
Okay, well, actually, the first thing that I did is give her case to, you know, the world experts I work with, Dr. Blaylock and Dr. Roberts, Dr. Walton, and some of them wrote about Abby's case so that physicians in New Zealand and other people would know that this was actually caused by aspartame, and just about everything she said you'll find on that FDA list of 92 symptoms. And when I got into New Zealand, was met by the press, and I think that the amount of publicity that we did, I don't think that you'll ever put out the fire in New Zealand. In fact, what it ended with is a petition to immediately put a warning for children and pregnant women and an effort to ban it there in New Zealand. So a lot of good things were done. Abby and I were on TV, and Wellington and in Auckland and in Christchurch. And an interesting thing was that Abby was always afraid to fly because of that paranoia. She was thinking the plane was going to crash. And she told me about it as we were seated, but as it descended, she says, I no longer have those feelings anymore. I said, that's the paranoia. Unfortunately, there are so many psychiatric problems today. In fact, I'm lecturing on it next week because of aspartame, because it's 50% phenylalanine, which lowers the seizure threshold and depletes serotonin. So when you have lowered serotonin, it triggers suicidal tendencies, which Abby had, panic attacks, mood swings, paranoia, hallucinations, and this is what Abby was going through. The interesting thing is that she was on TV so much, even before I got there, that people started getting off of it in New Zealand. I'd walk down the street, and people would come up and say, aren't you the chewing gum girl? I said, no, I'm the lady from the United States. And that's Abby Cormack, and they said everybody's getting off of it. They've heard all this on TV. It was interesting that one man told me, he says, I don't need any more information about aspartame because I had Abby's symptoms. I got off of it, and all my symptoms disappeared. One man by the name of Cameron Rutherford actually came to the house to see Abby and thank her for saving his life. He was just getting ready to have a divorce. He had the same type of paranoia, all the same symptoms, and later on he brought his wife over, who was extremely grateful that he had found out that their marriage would have been broken up. So there is a lot going on now in New Zealand, and the only people that we're fighting is the New Zealand Food Safety Authority, and they refused to have me in their forum. And they put out the usual propaganda against aspartame, but it's sort of like our FDA, you know, not very much different. And so that's basically who we were fighting. I had a meeting with Food Standards, and they said, well, the problem is that we get all our information from the FDA. So that's very much the way it is in many countries, like, for instance, the UK. The way that it was approved there, Isserl actually, that's the original manufacturer, actually made a business deal with a fellow by the name of Turner in Food Standards. He approved it without anybody knowing. Parliament had a big blowout. There was an article in The Guardian. But they did not rescind the order. So there were no studies, for instance, done in the UK. But today, as the information is getting around the world with people like Abby and people in other countries, for instance, Food Standards has now done a study on additives, and the big food chains like Sainsbury, Tesco, Marks and Spencer, they've all started removing aspartame from their products. You don't hear a word about it in the press in the United States.
Of course not. I want to go into more on all of this, and especially how aspartame was initially approved and the Donald Rumsfeld connection and all that. But since I know Abby has to leave, I wanted to just ask her, first of all, if she has anything else to add, and also ask her, did you receive any threats of any kind because you went out and got public about this problem?
No, I haven't got any threats. I've had a lot of positive feedback from people. In New Zealand, it's not very cool, I suppose, to come forward about these kind of issues. It's sort of a bit of a taboo subject to suggest that you've been depressed in any way. And I've had a lot of people that have come up to me sort of privately and said, listen, thank you so much. You know, I've been feeling a lot of these psychiatric problems that you've had, and I've come off the aspartame and I'm well. A lot of people won't publicly come forward. So I've had a lot of positive feedback from people. I haven't had threats, but I've been told by the New Zealand Food Safety Authority that I'm causing unnecessary concern and that I'm harming people such as the diabetics and the obese people in the Obesity Foundation because they suggest that Diet Cokes are a great alternative for sugar-free, for sugar products. And that telling them that, that aspartame is harmful is actually detrimental to their health. So that's the only sort of negative feedback that I've had from them. So what was your other question? Is there anything else I want to say? Yes, there is. I want to thank all of the doctors in America who helped me, because I had no idea what aspartame was, and no one in this country had any idea that this product is so harmful. And if it wasn't for the likes of Bessie and Dr. Roberts and Dr. Walton and all the other people that helped me out and all their websites that I went to, I would still be chewing this chewing gum, and I don't know where I would be, but probably sitting at home with horrendous depression and maybe diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, I don't know. But a lot of people have been helped by the doctors in America, so thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show, and I just want to say, yes, there are a few doctors that are waking up about all of these toxins, but unfortunately it's not enough. And I can assure you that when you go to your regular, everyday family doctor, internist, or whatever, they never ask their patients, are you taking aspartame when they come with these symptoms? But thanks to the work of Betty Martini, I think that's going to change through the patients educating their doctors, just like you did. And that's what has to happen. So thank you so much, Abby. Good luck on your audition, and I really appreciate you being on the radio show tonight.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Betty. So
One of the things I should have mentioned, which is really positive, is just before I left, Abby and I were interviewed by a magazine that goes to every single doctor in New Zealand, and it just came out, and Abby sent it to me in the mail a couple of days ago. And all of this happened because of Abby. And Chris Wheeler, just an investigator, just wrote a 13-page article about it. And I believe, at least in New Zealand, it will now get to all the positions, and it will make a difference.
And I just want to add, the amazing thing is Abby's talking about how their version of the FDA is actually telling her that she's providing a disservice and scaring people. Isn't it truly amazing how these alphabet agencies that have been put in place in all countries of the world are actually doing the exact opposite, which I know is the reason that you refer to them as fatal drugs allowed, and I will be using that, because that's perfect. I always called them the Fraudulent Drug Administration, but I like yours better. And as a matter of fact, as we're hearing all these bad things about China, I don't know if you're aware, but as it turned out, China just executed their version of the FDA leader for making illegal deals and taking money under the table and things of that nature, for accepting, you know, fraudulent information knowingly and letting dangerous things out to the public. So apparently China's ahead of us all.
Actually, you know, I wrote an article about it, and I said in the United States they promote them.
Exactly.
They execute them in China, and they promote them in the United States.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you, one of the problems in the New Zealand Food Safety Authority is one of the main people is a user of diet drinks, and is, so you know about the addiction. This is what's so terrible for our children, is that it has free methyl alcohol, which is classified as a narcotic and causes chronic methanol poisoning, which affects the dopamine system of the brain and causes the addiction. And people absolutely don't want to think it's dangerous because it's like taking away their cocaine. And we have an aspartame information list on www.mpwhi.com that people can get onto. And we try to get them through the withdrawal, which is just terrible, and they would like to get off of it, but they have an accentuation of their symptoms sometimes when they've been on it for years and have a serious problem. There's also something else, like for instance in New Zealand, is that people don't, it's bad enough that some don't know about aspartame, but there it's called 951, and people need to know that it's called NutraSweet, Equal, Canderel, 951, Benevia, all sorts of different names, and they have to learn to read the labels today because they're getting it and they don't know that they're getting it. And in the case of Wrigley's, even though the case back in 2004, I think, was dismissed, they had full knowledge and immediately turned around and started putting it in all their products except for one. So people that were chewing things like Juicy Fruit that thought it was just sugar like it's been for years are now getting aspartame, and they're having all these reactions because they're not reading the label and nobody made an announcement that they were going to do this. And it's in one of the most dangerous products. It's something that goes directly into their mouth, like breath mints and chewing gum.
Well, homeopathic. It's the same pathway. And I want to just mention that I had noticed that myself a couple of years ago. I'm always, when I'm standing in lines at checkouts, because that's where they put all these things, you know, they're like enticements, especially for the children. And I happened to look at some Wrigley Spearmint gum. I used to chew that when I was younger. And I was shocked to see that the sugared gum has the aspartame in it also, just like you said. And so you know they're doing that for the addictive capacity of aspartame.
Exactly. I think that's it. And to make it even worse, they're putting Splenda in it, which is a chlorocarbon poison that liberates chlorine, and they're using a sulfine potassium mixed in with it, and that caused cancer and leukemia in the original studies, and that was discussed by Dr. Roberts in some of his books. And so today there's a medical text on it. Dr. Roberts' medical text is like 1,000 pages of all these horrors, these medical problems, psychiatric problems, birth defects. Today our children are medicated instead of educated, and so they get all these problems from aspartame, like from pediatric products and from over-the-counter products. They can go to a pediatrician and get something like pediatric penicillin, and that's Augmentin, and it's got aspartame in it. So this is the problem with our children. And one of our websites, Doorway, I think it is, and the detox, we do have the name of a company, for instance, that has made a homeopathic antidote, and it really has helped a lot of people.
Yes.
So
yes.
I do know all about that, and they really also need to detox because of the methanol converts to formaldehyde, and the CROCO study shows that formaldehyde embalms living tissue and damages DNA.
Yes.
And so they have to use something to, milk thistle is what Dr. Blaylock recommends to get them, to get rid of some of the toxicity from aspartame.
Well, if I could just interject, because you see, on my website I have what's called the big picture. And there's so many things. Nobody has just one toxin that they've been exposed to. So the first thing they have to realize is, you know, take an inventory themselves of all the dangerous things that they're learning about that they've been exposed to. And then the best thing to do, in my opinion, is have a plan formulated that covers all of that. Because I want to mention one other thing, and I'm sure that you're aware of this as well, is that one of the big dangers of having aspartame in the diet drinks is that most of the diet drinks also have fluoride in them. And fluoride increases permeability of cell membranes, which actually leads to further introduction of the toxin into the body, as well as inhibiting enzyme systems which break the toxins down. So once you see, I mean, it's such a cascade effect of how things are getting very dangerous. And in Abby's case, obviously, she was extremely sensitive to this poison. Some people aren't that sensitive. With her, it was a little more obvious because things got so bad so fast. But I have a very good friend that drank aspartame for years and has fibromyalgia and all kinds of other problems, and I'm convinced that that is very largely involved with the problem. It's like one thing aggravates another thing, and, you know, it's very hard to pick out different pieces because many of the things you mentioned are also caused by vaccines as well. But all I can say is that once you start piling up all this garbage, which the FDA is supposed to be protecting us from, it makes it very obvious that they've totally sold out, that they're working for the pharmaceutical and all these different companies, and they do not have our best interests at heart in the least.
Well, you're very right. And one of the big problems on aspartame is that it's a chemical hypersensitization agent. So, for instance, Dr. Bowen says if they go from aspartame to Splenda, they're going to continue the reactions from aspartame and pick up those from Splenda because it that's one of the reasons it reacts to just about everything. So Dr. Blaylock, for instance, has a report on doorway.com of aspartame and the interaction with fluoride and RBGH and MSG, which has a synergistic and additive effect. And he has a book called Health and Nutrition Secrets to Save Your Life. And he mentions that in his book under fluoride. And he said diet drinks with the aluminum, with the fluoride, with the aspartame, he said is the most toxic product ever approved by the FDA. So while they're getting all these other poisons as well, that's why we tell people, get away from processed food. It has artificial and natural flavors. That's where they hide everything. Now they've got Cinemax out. It did not require an FDA approval. They say it's under artificial flavors. And it's a like an MSG enhancer, and people won't even know it's there, for instance. So with all this stuff, the what we tell people and on the aspartame information list is you've got to go back to scratch. As Dr. Roberts says, when in doubt, throw it out.
Exactly.
And they and have to be so highly educated to all the other things in order to know how serious aspartame is when it mixes, which is why I was talking about the gum. They put all the other stuff in there, too, and it's just making the problem worse.
Right. Well, it's very much, once again, like the vaccines, which also have formaldehyde and aluminum and all
and
these
aspartame.
Things. Right, and aspartame. And why they would put aspartame in vaccines, I mean, hello.
Yes.
What would possibly be the reason, except for they're intentionally causing disease? That is so obvious. And I want you to get into the history of how aspartame was approved, because that's so important. But before you do, I want to mention, once again, I cannot highly enough recommend the site that Abby mentioned, the website, which I recommend to all my clients, which is the triple W's, doorway.com. And I suggest to all my clients to get the videotape Sweet Misery. You will not believe, or perhaps you will as you're a regular listener to this show, what it reveals about what happened with aspartame and how it was approved. And I do want Betty to go into that. And on that website, you can also click on the symptoms section and download, I think it's 4 or 5 pages of information about the symptoms. But I also want to recommend one of my favorite books is Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills by Dr. Russell Blaylock. And he goes into not just aspartame, but MSG. And one of the amazing sections in this book is he talks about all the different things they're now labeling MSG. He has it in Appendix 1, the hidden sources. And there's 2 pages of names that they're coming up with MSG because, see, people are waking up that MSG is also bad for them. It's an excitotoxin just like aspartame as well. So what these people are doing is they're inventing new names for the poison. Just like Betty said, what they're now calling it on Wrigley's gum so that you don't know it as aspartame. It's quite amazing, and it's very obvious that they have an agenda. They're intentionally putting these things in because they also very much lead to the addictive capacity of these things.
You know, interesting about aspartame and MSG, we have on MPWHI Dr. John Oney's original 49-page report to the FDA, and the FDA agreed with him on how it would destroy the brains of our children, the combination of glutamate and aspartame together. And the FDA agreed and revoked the petition. But I tell you what, we'll go back to the beginning so people will understand how something like this got on the market.
Yeah.
Is that Searle was the original manufacturer. And they got it approved in 1974, and immediately Dr. John Oney and James Turner, the attorney, went to the FDA. The FDA decided to investigate further, and they told Searle that they could not market aspartame at all. So they finally had they had investigations, and they decided in 1977 to ask for their indictment. On Doorway, you'll see the Bressel Report, which is the FDA audit, and of all the shenanigans they pulled trying to make a poison show safety, and they couldn't do it. In fact, I called Jerome Bressel when he retired from the FDA and said, look, I want to thank you for exposing these things, like when the rats, it breaks down to DKP, a brain tumor agent, the rats would develop brain tumors, they would excise the brain tumors and put the rats back in the study. When the rats died, they'd resurrect them on paper. And what Jerome Bressler said was, if you think that's bad, the studies were so bad that the FDA left the worst 20% out, at which point I had Dr. Roberts call, Dr. Blaylock talk to him. Dr. Roberts got his congressman to write to the FDA and demand that that 20% be released, and the FDA wrote back and said that it was confidential. So this is how bad the studies were, and the two prosecutors, U.S. prosecutors Sam Skinner and William Conlon, both hired on with the defense team, Sidley and Austin, and the statute of limitations expired. So when the district attorney goes to work for the Godfather, expect acquittal. But the FDA, even then, said, well, we're not going to approve it. And Don Rumsfeld was CEO of Searle. So the FDA, on September the 30th, 1980, revoked the petition for approval. And you can go to www.wnho.net. Right on the front banner, you will actually see that whole 50-page report revoking the petition for aspartame based on the fact that it's not safe and that it caused brain tumors. And immediately, October the 1st, Searle then filed suit against the FDA and demanding that it be approved, that they were losing $10,000 a day, and the FDA simply didn't do it. So Don Rumsfeld said he would call in his markers and get it on the market. The interesting thing about that, this is in the congressional record, this is in the 8-month investigation by UPI that you can read on Doorway. It's all a matter of public record. It's in the congressional record we have on mpwhi.com. You can read it there. And so Reagan was, Rumsfeld was on President Reagan's transition team. And so the day after Reagan was elected, he appointed Dr. Arthur Hull Hayes as FDA commissioner. The other commissioner that was at the time was called like 2 o'clock in the morning and told to resign. And Hayes overruled the Board of Inquiry. But President Reagan was fearful that it would take 30 days to get there and actually wrote an executive order telling that may be FDA powerless to do anything until Hayes gets there. And you can read, there's a commentary right above the Board of Inquiry report on that website, has a clip from Sweet Misery where James Turner explains all the things that I have just said. And this is how aspartame got on the market. Even in December, after they had revoked the petition, I have an article in a Chicago newspaper that says that Searle pleaded with the FDA to approve it, even after they had filed suit, because this is something that was so bad that they not only didn't want it approved, but wanted them indicted for fraud, and it took Donald Rumsfeld to get this stuff on the market.
And I bet this wasn't mentioned when he was reconfirmed to be Secretary of Defense again under the Bush crime regime, correct?
That's right. Today there's some excellent articles. Don Harkins wrote one on Rumsfeld disease, is what they call it today. But I think that what's happened is that the Internet has made the world a lot smaller, and we have operations now in 38 nations of the world. And this is how the information has gotten around and how he could become Secretary of Defense. But then you have to understand, Clinton is an aspartame victim. President Bush is on Diet Coke. All these people, and I don't know who's running the government, to get the truth, because President Bush already has many of these problems, and Dr. Roberts has already written a paper on President Bush and his aspartame problems.
Yes.
And so they know about it. It's just that they're so highly addicted and it's affected them so much that you wonder who's making some of these decisions. I know in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, because I live in Atlanta, home of Coca-Cola, they said when Bush was here, he actually was looking for a cue to tell him what to say next, and that's
yes.
The memory loss of it.
Well, I know he's also on psychiatric drugs as well, but...
Which interacts.
Yes, exactly. It all interacts. Like I always say, although vaccines is my mission, it's the big picture of all these things. And it is truly amazing how it all works out. I mean, the same thing with Reagan, that he did what he did, and then he went and developed Alzheimer's. I guess you could call that universal justice. Obviously the symptoms of Alzheimer's have been linked to aspartame poisoning as well.
Yes, and there is a study that's not very old. There's 13 studies that have been done in the last, say, 24 months, and we have them on MPWHI. And one of them is from Greece on memory loss, and Dr. Roberts says, bottom line, this is Alzheimer's, and he's already written a book about it called Defense Against Alzheimer's Disease. Now, it's not just on aspartame, but in this book, years ago when he wrote it, he said that it is escalating Alzheimer's.
Yes.
So, like you say, the interesting thing that some years later, Reagan stopped using it because there was an article that was in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and someone asked him if he was using it, and he says, well, there are things that we don't know about these artificial sweeteners, and we've stopped using it. So there was actually an article about Reagan.
Amazing.
Some years later, but it was simply too late.
Yes, his executive order stands. It's truly amazing.
And on the fibromyalgia, we have a translator's affidavit where Searle did studies in six different countries. They took people in poor villages and gave them lots of aspartame. And on this paper, it shows that it hardens the synovial fluids. And Dr. Roberts calls fibromyalgia a junk bucket diagnosis. And when they argued about this on TV, on Dateline, one doctor said, well, it doesn't exist. And the other doctor says, well, they have terrible symptoms, and they do have pain. But both doctors agree that when you see fibromyalgia patients, they're always depleted in aspartame, and that immediately tells you what's going on, and Dr. Roberts has already written a paper about it, and, you know, talks about the toxic breakdown products and this hardening of the synovial fluids, and you can imagine that's the pain that they go through. In fact, that's how Doorway was created. Dave Reitz, aspartame actually ended up killing him, but he was in so much pain with joint pain that he had to have a room built on his house to where he had a jacuzzi, and so he could stay in water. And as soon as he read the report, the 92 symptoms, and saw joint pain on it, he immediately got off of it. In a couple of weeks, he was fine. He had gone to 12 different doctors, and while they're telling people this doesn't exist, the FDA has just approved a new drug for people with fibromyalgia. And wouldn't you know, which confirms exactly what you're saying, Dr. Carley, it was put out by Pfizer, who bought Monsanto,
mm-hmm.
and Searle sold to Monsanto in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they're doing. They're
and
making drugs for the problems that they have created.
Right, exactly. And it's so obvious in this case because of the experiments that they did on the indigent people that you described, that they actually knew exactly what this drug would do, just like they know exactly what vaccines do. As a matter of fact, a veterinarian who's been on my show a couple of times recently sent me a package insert from the rabies vaccine that actually says that the foreign tissue antigens that they use to culture the viruses on when introduced into the body of the pet can cause autoimmune disease. So they know exactly what they're doing, and that's why it has become self-evident to me. This is no conspiracy theory. These are facts, that these companies are being allowed to create dangerous products that make disease, that cause death, and then they reap the billions and billions of dollars profit off creating drugs that do nothing but possibly cover up the symptoms, but in most cases give you other side effects. And then just like Abby was describing, and then they give you another drug, and oh, then you have a mental symptom, we'll give you a psychiatric drug, we'll give you some Valium. It just keeps on adding up and up and up until you end up with this toxic cocktail that leads you right down to death.
Absolutely. And, in fact, here's another name for the FDA, Big Pharma's Washington branch office. They all know it. The FDA knows it. And these vaccines, I know one day I work a lot with Ingra, who has back lip. You probably know her.
Yes.
And she's wonderful on someone sent me everything that's in a vaccine. And if anybody saw that, they wouldn't touch it.
Right.
And how are children going to have a chance? Like Dr. Roberts said, before they're, you know, in school, they've had enough vaccines to completely destroy their immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, the mercury can cause autism.
Well, I have to interrupt you there. It's not the mercury that causes autism. That's one of the biggest scams going. It's the autoimmune process that attacks the myelin sheath, as described in my paper. The mercury's bad, but it doesn't cause autism, and this is coming out now because they want people to believe that if they take the mercury out, the vaccines will be safe. But when you just picture the scenario where you have a newborn baby, it pops out of its mother's womb, welcome to the world, here's your hepatitis B shot, the vaccine schedule progresses. As soon as they start drinking liquids, you know, the mothers are likely to start giving them all kinds of different beverages that have aspartame in it. You know, I've seen mothers in stores buying their little toddlers, you know, Coca-Cola for breakfast, you know. I mean, at McDonald's and things like this. It's unbelievable. And it's a wonder why we have any people that are healthy in this country when you see the extent to what's going on with the fluoride and the chlorine and everything else. It just keeps adding up and adding up.
Well, yes, and have you heard that President Bush said if they remove mercury, which is also, I mean, very damaging, as you know, that he will veto the bill.
Yes.
He wants it left in, and I also work with Dr. Stoller, who has a New Mexico detoxification clinic there, and he petitioned the Board of Pharmacy, for instance, to try to remove mercury, and it didn't help. Then I went to New Mexico because they had also petitioned to get rid of aspartame, or at least to have a hearing about it, and the lobbyists and the attorneys, what they did down there was absolutely despicable. I went down to testify before the New Mexico Senate and the New Mexico House, and a good part of the Senate was sitting there drinking Diet Cokes. And I addressed them first, and Dr. Stoller did second, and he says, how are we going to get anywhere? You know, when all of y'all are sitting there drinking Diet Coke. But he has worked so hard on that vaccine area, and I know everything you're saying is true. The mercury is bad, and then you've got the autoimmune effect, and
the
children don't
have
a chance.
Yes, and I just want to make a comment about President Bush. Of course, the reason he didn't want the mercury issue to be addressed is because his daddy is on the board of Eli Lilly, which makes thimerosal. So you basically just follow the money. And then, of course, you know, if it did go out of the vaccines, the autism rate would continue to skyrocket. Yes, there would be one less item in vaccines, but, of course, they're still putting mercury amalgams in people's teeth, and especially if your body's acidic, you're just, you know, breathing in those mercury vapors. But they're afraid to stop the mercury because as the autism epidemic continues to get worse and worse every year, that's going to make it self-evident that my explanation of what causes all autoimmune diseases and cancer is the fact. As a matter of fact, I've had a $10,000 reward on my website for over a year for any vaccine promoter to come on this show and prove me wrong. And, of course, there's no takers.
Actually, I just read that recently, and I think that's incredible, the things that you have done and the fact that you put that out and nobody has come forward.
Yes. Well, it makes it very obvious, and as a matter of fact, I've invited doctors to be on this show, especially when I read articles that, you know, there's going to be a vaccine shortage, you know, especially at flu season. They try to scare people. And so I'll call them up, and I'll say, oh, this needs to be discussed on the air. Will you be on my show? I've had a couple of doctors agree to be on, but then they must Google me and find out who I, you know, am, and needless to say, it never happens, because they can't refute my information, especially my response to the CDC, which, of course, I'm proving that what they're doing is changing the names of the diseases. And what you're describing with aspartame is so important because, of course, there was no such thing as fibromyalgia when I was in medical school. We never heard the word. But as there's more and more thousands, if not millions, of people coming down with this condition, they have to give it a name. They try to make it a psych issue as long as they possibly can. Eventually, they'll admit that it's a medical problem, but we just don't know what it is.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they were just, if we could do something about the vaccine system and we could get aspartame off the market, I mean, it would help a great deal. But
yes,
the problem is, for instance, I have written a petition to ban the law, says they have to answer it in 180 days. But since it's based on the fact they've lied about all this, they refuse to answer it.
Yes.
And it has been 6 years.
Who did you write that to? The FDA themselves?
To the FDA.
Yes.
And in 1986, the Community Nutrition Institute petitioned the FDA to ban it because it caused so many seizures and because people were going blind from the methanol.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that all the way to the Supreme Court.
And what happened?
And so they, you know, nothing happened. And,
right,
it's, and it's all such a matter of record. I mean, you can go to Doorway and read the Rayo study that was the manufacturer's own study, a 52-week oral toxicity study where they fed 7 infant monkeys aspartame, 5 had grand mal seizures, and 1 died, and they used that as pivotal in the approval process.
Why,
using
because
that
one lived?
To show safety.
Because one lived and had no seizures?
That's, well, you know who's the monkey now.
Well, you have to laugh about these things. It's totally disgusting. We're out of time, Dr. Martini. We could talk for hours and hours on this subject. You are so knowledgeable. And I just want to say God bless you for what you're doing. It's such a wonderful thing to have another warrior out there like yourself. And there's more and more people coming forward now. Like you said, thank God for the Internet, because there is so much information. It's disseminating like wildfire. And the truth will set us free eventually, but it's going to be up to the people to do something. Everyone listening, you don't have to become a Dr. Martini or a Dr. Carly, but you need to help educate those around you. If they won't listen, at least you know you did the best that you can. But we have to share this information with others, because it's a matter of life and death. This is no joke. And when you see these little children in the stores chewing gum, you know, you might want to just take mom aside and tell them to go to www.doorway.com. That's Doorway with 1-0. That is the best site I've ever seen on aspartame. And what's that other site that you mentioned, Dr. Martini?
MPWHI.com. Think of World, Mission Possible World Health International. And incidentally, there is a safe gum column, just like sugar, which is just chicory and orange peel, which you can now get in Whole Foods, is going to put it in gum. And this is the one that Dr. Blaylock checked out, so and had them do an investigation. So that sweetener we know is safe, and you can.
What's
get
the name of that sweetener again?
It's called Just Like Sugar.
Okay.
It's made out of chicory and orange peel.
That's good to know. And of course, there's also the herb stevia,
right,
which is very healthy, has no calorie, and can actually help you to reverse your diabetes. So on that note, I want to thank you so much, Dr. Martini. Keep up the good work. I'm sending you a big, big hug down there in Atlanta, home also of the CDC. You forgot to mention that.
Yes.
Send them my regards. Not.
Thank you, Dr. Curley.
Okay, have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Victim.